we know that some information, some messages can carry a lot of implications. Some news can really hold weight. When you think about it, you just went to the doctor and you know, because you haven't been feeling well, and now you got to go back to the doctor because he or she wants to see you to give you the news. And you know, at that moment, you're just like, you don't know what they're going to say, and you're hoping for the better. And, you know, that news that the doctor might give you can really change your life. Because what if he or she says, well, you have terminal illness, or you had to stop eating certain things? I mean, you know, some messages, some news can really carry huge implications to our life. Perhaps you send your kids to school, and you know, an hour later you hear that there was a shooting at the school, and at that moment you don't know if your kid's alive. And that news can change your world, can rock your world drastically. Sudden death of a loved one because they were driving and they just had a car accident. And it's like, you know, some news, I mean, we don't even know how to take him. These things can really shock our world. There was a young woman, a young girl planning a wedding. Like, we have some in the neighborhood. We have some here today planning a wedding. And, you know, and so she was just so happy, so joyous. She's marrying this man named Joe. She's so excited because, you know, a wedding. I'm marrying the love of my life. And you know how it is. And one day she just went about to do her business. She's doing some work in the kitchen. And then all of a sudden she had an unexpected visitor that came to tell her that she needed to postpone the wedding. Now imagine that she had an unexpected visitor who came to tell her you gotta put the wedding plans on hold for now. I mean, imagine how she would have felt. Some of you who are planning a wedding, imagine that. It's like, hey, you gotta wait. You're not gonna get married that month or year. You gotta wait a little bit. You know that story, and I just want to bring that story back to you. It's the story of Mary. You know, during this time of the season, we tend to think about the birth of Jesus, and, you know, and so the whole nation, you know, we're caught up with that, the time of Christmas and celebration. This is Christmas Advent, so the coming of Christmas. And so, remember, Mary, she's pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. They're planning a wedding, and then she had a visitor. Sent by God, an angel showed up to tell her, hey, you gotta put the wedding plans on hold right now because I need you to do something for me first. If you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. The Christmas story we find in the four Gospels. Matthew and Luke are the ones who really take time to tell us how Jesus was born. Mark doesn't really go into a lot of details. John starts saying that Jesus pre-existed before time. So, but Matthew and Luke, you can compare both stories. And it's like the story, you know, the shepherds, the magi, and so Joseph and Mary and the baby. So Luke chapter 1, and I want to pick it up in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. From the beginning, Matthew already started telling us, you know, we're picking it up in verse 26, but in order for you to understand the context, what's going on, you got to read the whole chapter 1. 26 starts in the sixth month of what? Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. So by the time God sent Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, to tell Mary that she was going to have a baby, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, was already 6 months pregnant. Remember, John the Baptist is the man who baptized Jesus. They were relative. And so that's what the context, our text is, in the 6 month, that's Elizabeth's pregnancy. And we have the verses to check that out. So God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married. Now, it's interesting because, like I said, the angel showed up. Mary's just minding her own business. Perhaps she was in the kitchen. She was doing something. And boom, the angel showed up and said, "Greetings, favored one." Greetings. I mean, Mary was just already perplexed by that greeting. You don't greet people like that, by the way. I mean, you know, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And he says right there, the text, that she was troubled. Some translation would say she was perplexed or puzzled by that greeting. "Greetings, favored one." Now, the angel later on explained to her what that greeting meant. And he said, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." What it means is, Mary, God looks to you with grace. God looks to you with favor. You know, most people in the Bible, even Noah, you remember everybody else was corrupt in the time of Noah. But he says that Noah found favor with God. So you want to be in favor with God. You want God to look at you with favor. So the angel said, "Greetings, favored one. You're favored because God looks to you, Mary, with favor. He sees you and he has gracious eyes towards you." That's what the angel told her. Even it says she was perplexed. It's like, okay, what kind of greeting is that? The angel just explained it to her. And then he goes on to tell him, I mean, imagine she's planning a wedding and you know, again, so much information that the angel Gabriel gave to this young girl right here. He goes on to say, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And then he says, "You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." I mean, hello? I mean, picture yourself this young woman right here. It's like, I mean, you greeted me, "We are ready." And now you're telling me that I'm going to have a child? I'm just planning a wedding right now. Maybe you got the wrong person here. And it's like, and what the kind of child that I'm about to have, it's almost like the angel said, "Hey, how would you like to be the mother of the Son of God? How would you like to be the mother of the Savior of the world? And you, by the way, you are to give him the name Jesus." You know, parents, when they have a baby, sometimes they have to debate about what to name the child. It's like, no debate between you and whoever. You are to give him the name Jesus. Jesus, the word Jesus means God saves. No wonder they call him Savior. You are to give him the name Jesus. I mean, a lot of information that Gabriel gave Mary that day. Now, she just has some reservation. I mean, and we don't blame her for that because look what happens. Okay, you're telling me that I'm going to have a child. His name is Jesus, and he's going to be great. He's going to be even called the Son of God, and he's going to have a kingdom that will never end. And then she said, okay, that's fine and dandy, but there's a problem right here because I'm a virgin. You know, that might not mean a lot in our culture today. Seriously. But in that society, what she meant is that she's never been with a man intimately, ever. She said, "I'm a virgin, so you're telling me I'm going to have a child." And, you know, childs are made one cell from the male, one cell from the female. So I don't know. I mean, what are you talking about? I'm a virgin. I haven't been with a man. By the way, I'm planning a wedding, and you're telling me I'm going to have a kid? That doesn't fly very well in that culture 2,000 years ago. And so Mary's now even more troubled. She's like, I'm a virgin. You know, how will this be? How is that possible? You know, right there from the get-go, if you go backward 700 years from that moment, There was a prophet who said, a virgin will give birth to a son. That prophet's name was Isaiah. He already prophesied. The Lord himself, he's talking to a king named Ahaz. He said, hey, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will give birth to a son. And they are to give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He prophesied that. And now, 700 years later, God sent the angel to that girl. And she said, I'm a virgin. You know, how is that going to be possible? I'm planning a wedding. I haven't been with a man. And you said, I'm gonna be with a child? Hello? How will that be? I mean, her question has logic. How will that be? And then I love what Gabriel said. Because if I were to paraphrase what Gabriel said, this is my paraphrase. Leave the details to God. He said, I mean, she's concerned about, look at what the angel said. Verse 34, Mary said, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High. The word for power, by the way, in the Bible is the word dynamite. From where you get the word dynamite. Dunamis is the word for power. So the power of the Most High will overshadow you or envelop you. So the Holy One to be born will be called Son of God. One of the titles that Jesus was known for, the Son of Man, the Son of God. And then he says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Leave the impossible to God, Mary. You think it's impossible, right? Leave it to God. I mean, many of us go through a lot of things. It's like, there's no way that you and I have the power or the resources to do certain things. But that's when we run out of resources, when we don't have power, we just leave it up. God knows. And the one that we're dealing with is more powerful than ourselves. Mary is like, it has logic. How can this be? This is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. It's going to envelop you. And the power of the Most High will cover you. So that the Holy One to be born from you will be known as holy and the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, she was already an old lady and she's having a son. She was barren. She couldn't have kids. And guess what? She's going to have a son that's going to baptize later on your child. You know, but it's like, wow. I mean, all the things that God is telling this young woman right here. For nothing is impossible with God. Now, think about the effect of the news. I mean, a lot of information Gabriel gave Mary. But let me just take you back to that time. If you will, please. Think about why would a pregnancy, like Mary's pregnancy, why would that mean 2,000 years ago? What would that mean in her shoes? You know, I mean, some of the implications of the news, I mean, yes, I'm planning a wedding and now you're telling me to postpone it because I'm going to be with a child. Think about, how is Joseph going to take all this thing? What is Joseph going to think about all this? All of a sudden, you know, after certain months, the belly's going to be showing. Joseph, if I don't tell Joseph, you know, they're probably going to show up in the Maury shows. Like, who's the father? Joseph, you're not the father. You know what I mean? It's like, there's going to be some conflict right here. That could have dissolved the engagement. And you see, you can tell, you go back into Matthew, that apparently Mary had a discussion with Joseph, and Joseph was ready to leave. He was leaving. I mean, who wouldn't? You're planning his wedding, and all of a sudden, your fiance, she's pregnant by somebody else. And isn't that a joke? She told me that she had an angel who came and told her. You believe that? No, come on, please. And he's ready to leave her. It's like, I'm leaving. But, you know, the way he wanted to leave, it was very, you know, in a sense, the Bible said he was such a righteous man that he did not want to really disgrace Mary. He did not want her to experience, you know, shame in the society. So what a pregnancy meant for Mary in the first century will be that she will be considered an adulteress. You're a cheater, obviously. That's why, you know, I mean, yes, and like you can tell that they had a conversation. Because according to Matthew, he was ready to leave her, but he was going to do it quietly, secretly. I'm not going to make a big deal. Nobody's, you know, it's like people going to see the belly later on, but I'm not going to be around. And Joseph was going to do that. Because it tells you right there, he did not believe what Mary told him. Yeah, Mary probably said, hey, the angel came and told me it was Gabriel. And said, I told him that you and I are planning a wedding. And Joseph's like, no, unless the angel come and talks to me, I would not believe. Bye-bye. He was ready to leave. So you see, what that pregnancy of Mary meant is that now that wedding would just be called off. Also, that will bring shame and ridicule in the society. Imagine people, I just hear the voice in the community. Oh, man, Mary's a cheater. They were planning a wedding. Look, and now she's pregnant by somebody else. Yeah, right. Like she said an angel came and told them, uh-huh. What? I just want to wait for an angel to come and tell me too. You know, but it's like the ridicule, the mockery that family will go through in that society. And imagine Mary's parents. They will be so mad that they will disown Mary. They were just like, to us, you're not even our child anymore because you're doing things according to our standard. I mean, that's a big deal. And the other one too, because she's considered an adulteress, because you cheated. That's not Joseph's kid. You're pregnant. What was adultery punished by back in those days? Death. She will be stoned to death. And by the way, Joseph, he had all the right to do it. That's why, let me just read to you, go with me now to Matthew, so you see what was happening to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Because the question is, what about Joseph? What do you think he thought about all this? He's ready to dissolve the engagement. He's leaving. The NIV reads, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, before they were intimate, before they came together, it says that Matthew said, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, and you see the NIV already called her husband, because the moment you were engaged, you were like, in other words, like, yeah, they're married. They just got to go through the party, the ceremonial that took a whole week, and then finally we're just like, it's done. But, I mean, they were considered, you're my wife. I mean, the moment you were engaged in that society. So, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. You see, God had to intervene once again. Joseph is leaving. And so Mary told them that she had a dream. An angel came and visited her. And now an angel in a dream told Joseph what was happening. This is what the angel told Joseph, verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But, check this out, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. They were in the same house, but he did not sleep with her until Jesus was born. That's what I just translated that verse for you in case you want to know what was going on. Joseph, this is what's going on, man. God is doing all the work, and he was obedient to God and said, okay, now that I got a vision from the angel too, and I know what's going on, and that boy's going to be born, and his name is Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. You see, my friends, the angel told Mary, you are greetings, highly favored. She was favored by God. But it's interesting because that doesn't sound like being favored by God when first God told you to postpone the wedding. And now what you're telling me to do might cost me my life. Does it sound like being favored by God? I mean, everything you're telling me, that might cost me a lot. My family might disown me. My future husband might leave me. And you're telling me that I'm highly favored? You know, one of the things I learned from the story, sometimes when God favors you, to being highly favored by God means that sometimes you got to go against your own desires. You got to go against your own plans sometimes. It means you're highly favored. Might mean that you must be willing to go against your family. Sometimes you got to go against your own traditions and your own feelings, the culture and society, even your own reputation, in order to do what God is asking you to do. It is interesting because even in the Bible, God has asked people to do certain things, and none of them were perfect, just like you and I are not perfect. And you know, it's almost like God could have sent somebody else, but why that particular person? You know, Moses was the only one who told God, I don't want to do this, send somebody else. And finally, between talking to them, talking against each other, Moses decided finally to obey God. But it's like, being favored by God means that sometimes you got to go against your own instincts and feelings and just let him go and just like, okay, Lord, this it doesn't even make sense to me, but because I'm going to trust you, I'm just going to do what you're asking me to do. Sometimes God will ask you and I to do things that might not really make sense in our own logic. And you know, sometimes God's asking you, he said, yeah, you're going to be rejected by your friends. And, you know, being favored by God sometimes means that you had to find other different kind of friends to hang out with. Because the ones that you have perhaps are not promoting God's agenda. It's, I mean, Mary, the family could have been dissolved. And she said, you know, okay, you asked me to do that. You see, Noah, I told you about Noah. Noah was favored by God, but he still had to build the ark. Being favored by God doesn't mean that things will be easy, by the way. Let me say that again. When God looks to you with favor, with grace, doesn't mean that everything in your life will be easy. Now, what it means is he will be there with you. You see, the Bible says that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. But why is it that he almost took like 100 years to build the ark? Can you imagine you had to go and get limber and old and work your butt off and do things? And yeah, God looks to me with favor, but it's like I still had to do some work. God looks to Noah with favor, but he still had to build the ark and get in the ark so that he can be saved. When God looks to you with favor, like I said, doesn't mean that things will be the way you anticipate, the way you want it. Because sometimes God will not even make sense to us. The way I define faith, you know, this definition is not in the Bible, but when I read the Bible and I see when God requires faith of people, this is my definition. Faith is to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. Because many things, to Peter, Jesus is walking on the water and Jesus said, come. Does it make sense that mankind will walk on water? No, it doesn't. But Jesus is calling him. What does he do? He stepped out of the boat and began walking in water. Doesn't make sense. To this man named Gideon, he's facing an army, and he had like 3,000 people. And God said, no, you only need 300. But I'm going against 10,000. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. But he trusted God because God told him, "This is you're gonna have a son. You're to give him the name Jesus. But you are virgin. That doesn't make sense either. And it can cost me my life, my reputation in the community. And God knows those things already. And said, guess what? Everything will be all right. Trusting God, even when it doesn't make sense, when it doesn't make, you cannot even apply logic to it. And that's what Mary did. God asked Mary to be the mother of the Savior. And what was her attitude about that? Look at that verse. Look at how she replied to all that. Knowing the implications of that news. Verse 38. This is what Mary said. I am the Lord's servant. Some translation would say, I am the Lord's slave. May it happen to me just like you have said. Mary placed herself in God's will. She placed her agenda into God's agenda. Regardless of what could have happened to her, she was just, okay, this is what you want me to do. You selected me. I'm so privileged. You want me to be the mother of the universe? May happen to be, you want me to be the mother of the one who created the universe, the Son of God, the I am that we sent about. That's what you want me to do? Let's do it. May happen to me just as you have said. Wow. Look at her willing heart, the willingness that she had to place herself at the Lord's disposal. Lord, you asked me to do this, but it doesn't make sense to me. But because you say, because you said it, I am your servant. I be your slave. Do to me. That's exactly what Paul said one time. When he said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do it, even when it doesn't make sense to me. Mary surrendered her agenda to God's agenda. She chose to trust God even when she didn't understand how everything will unfold. Even when she had not even told Joseph, how are you gonna take this news when I tell you? And you see what Joseph, how he took it. He was about to leave her. And yes, she's still saying yes to God. She was agreeing to God's will. And agreeing to God's will, like I said, sometimes it might require you to go against the culture. It might require you to go against your own feelings. It might require you to go sometimes against your own family. Jesus said in Matthew 10, he said, do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. Because I have come to set a man against his father, his mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. And the man's enemy will be those of his own household. Why? Because of me. Saying yes to Jesus, sometimes you got to change your friends. Saying yes to Jesus means that you might not go on with that relationship because that guy or that girl you're dating might not be good for you. And when you say yes to Jesus, you know, you might have to say no to that, or you might have to stop certain things. You might have to stop, you might have to postpone the move that you wanted to do. Saying yes to Jesus, sometimes I'm going to go against what I want. I wish it'd be that simple. You know, I'm here because I said yes to Jesus one time, but I didn't want to come here, by the way. You know, from Chicago, I wanted to go to Florida. That was my desire. And I still want to go to Florida someday. I always pray to God selfishly, say, Lord, don't send me to Toronto or any other place that's cold. But that's just me. Why did Jesus say, hey, I want you to go to Canada? And it's like, Florida looks better. But, you know, if I want to obey, what do? I go. Saying yes to Jesus might be saying no to what you want. And look, I mean, you got to postpone the wedding for a while. I mean, you're going to be the mother or the savior of the world. And what did she say? May it happen to me just as you have said. Wow. You see, Mary knew the implications of saying yes to God. Joseph could have left her. She could have been killed. The family she knew exactly what she was getting herself in when she said yes to Jesus. And even though she knew it, she said, let it happen. She trusted God even when it didn't make sense. She trusted God even when her world was about to be rocked. A lot. I mean, that song, they don't play around when they say a baby changes everything. And the baby's not even here yet. Just the news of this baby, it's gonna rock your world. Some of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about. You sleep, you know, like the naps you take. I mean, everything is going to change in your family because they're going to occupy the whole priority. And she's saying yes to this thing that God is asking her to do. My friend, the angel was right. He said, you are highly favored by God. God's going to bring the Savior of the world through you. You're going to be the mother of the Son of God. I mean, what a privilege for this young woman. But do you know that in the story, you and I are also there? In that greetings, I just want you before you go home, to pause for a moment and think about when the angel said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The angel saying the same words to you and I today. You too, like Mary, are highly, extremely favored. How? Because God saw your needs. He looked at your condition and he looked at you with grace. How? Because he gave you the Savior of the world. He sent Jesus to die. He sent Jesus to be born. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You and I are extremely favored in the eyes of God because he looked at us and gave us the one that can rescue us. His name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He will rescue us from the penalty of sin, which is death. He will save us and bring us back on track to God the Father, to bring us back to heaven. So you and I are highly favored. And my prayer is that we just don't remember how highly favored we are around December, around Christmas time. Every single day of our lives, when you wake up and you can breathe, you are highly favored. Because the creator of the universe gave you breath. The creator of the universe gave you talents and abilities, and if you can walk on your feet and you can do things, you are extremely favored by God. He's not done with you yet. Greetings, favored ones, the angel saying to you. Because God looked to you with favor. How? You and I being favored in Jesus Christ. It's because of him that you and I have life. He came to rescue us, to undo what sin has done. He came to deal with the works of Satan. So, like I said, please don't ever underestimate, don't ever take for granted how favored you are. We call this, in a church word, name as grace. God has given you grace. He's still doing that, grace in Jesus Christ. So you and I are truly, like Mary, extremely favored. We are highly favored by God. So never forget that.